All right. How about 2 Timothy? Y'all are looking for those 12 things for their 12 days of Christmas is what you're looking for. You folks are getting where you like lists. You're like, give me the list of the 12 fear factors. Okay, well, I'm going to give them to you tonight, but not before I set up a couple of things. Come up, if you will, to 2 Timothy. Sure appreciate you being here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter number 1. Thanks, Deke. Appreciate you. Appreciate the prayers. I appreciate being home. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate it. I appreciate the break, but I will say both of us were ready to be back home. And it's just good to be home. It's hard to harness the horses when you get back on familiar territory. And I don't know, I think it might have taken me more than 3 or 4 minutes to get warmed up this morning, but it's easy with y'all. Y'all are an unusual church. You're like little teeth and eyeballs. Anybody here that comes here to preach, if they're prepared, then this is a Mecca. If they're not prepared, it's scary. But if you've worked hard, you know they're here to eat. And so, you know, I see the little napkins tied around your neck. You know, looks like you can turn it into a robber's mask if you want to later. And I see the knife in one hand and the fork in the other and the bread of life open in your lap. And it's kind of like, okay, feed us or we're going to eat you, you know, kind of a thing. And that's an easy congregation to preach to. It doesn't get any better than that. I appreciate you being here tonight. Give you one verse of scripture where we're going to start here tonight. Verse number 7. The Bible said, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. But preacher, I'm afraid. Well, hold on. God didn't give you that spirit of fear. There is a thing called the spirit of fear. I'll show you tonight. I'm going to give you these 12 things, but I'll show you tonight. Fear in God is the right fear. The spirit of fear is you being afraid of God, things that God told you not to be afraid of. Be careful for nothing. You're worrying about paying bills. You're worrying about stuff that you don't need to be worrying about. You're worrying about whether or not the disease is coming back or whether or not so-and-so likes you, whether or not so-and-so is going to be your friend, what's going to be the outcome. Be careful for nothing. That's what he tells you. Notice what he says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Brother Josh, you pray, would you please, and ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat in a few hours, I think he... You say, you heard that, huh, preacher? Well, he prayed for it. I wouldn't want to see him not get his prayer answered. You say, surely you don't have that much material. You want to bet? I can keep you here as long as you want to stay. And with that being said, have a good night. Fear is an unusual thing. Everybody gets afraid. Some people have certain fears or certain phobias that are unrealistic. And I won't give you the list of those things, but the list is a mile long. Fear is one of those things that tends to occupy the ground that God intends to occupy through faith and trust. Fear has a way of making you become anxious or concerned about things the Lord tells you not to be anxious or concerned about. Fear is directly opposed to or the opposite of faith. Now, when I say faith, I don't mean stupidity. Many people think when you talk about faith, it means you're supposed to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. No, the Lord didn't even fall for that foolishness. You don't have to prove how spiritual you are by doing something spiritually stupid. You have to have some sense about things. Lord, I'm willing to go. Lord, I'm willing to stay. Well, which one is it? Whichever one you want. We'll generally pray the way a friend of mine prayed. Lord, I'm willing to go. I'd like to go. Will you let me go? The Lord said, okay, that'll be fine. But I had to say, what's the tail on the prayer? What's the tail on the prayer? But Lord, if you'd rather me stay, I want to be in your will. And if it's to go, yeah, I'd like to go. But if it be your will for me to stay, I'd rather stay because I want to be in your will. I can go and not be in your will. You say, what is that? That's tempting the hand of the Lord. Don't go out and jump into something just because somebody wants to live on your spiritual coattails, telling you, you know, you ought to get married without, first of all, having some time to sit down and talk and pray and make sure the one you're fixing to make a lifetime commitment to is the right one. You say, well, if it's not, then we'll just wind up divorced. Okay, but there's scars that come with that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe that God can't use you. I don't believe that God can't do something with you and for you. I don't believe you're second class because that may have happened in your life. I don't believe any of that foolishness or that tribe. But wouldn't it be better if it didn't go that way? You say, what is it? Fear is the thing that'll take the place. I'm so afraid of going out at nighttime because of something that happened a long time ago, so I stay at home all the time. That kind of fear creates bondage. There can be religious bondage that way also. That religious bondage can work into some things I'll show you here tonight where all of a sudden, well, you're not ever supposed to fear anything. Perfect love casts out fear. Yeah, but wait a minute. The perfect love that casts out fear is not ever the fear of God that it casts out. It's the fear of something that without God in it, then you have a reason to be afraid. And sometimes you're afraid of things, and you should be afraid of certain things, like running a red light. You should be afraid of it. Not just because you're worried about getting a ticket, you're worried about getting T-boned. You should be afraid of not paying attention to your surroundings, especially this time of the year when you get ready to pull in a parking lot. Ma'am, just for whatever it's worth, I'll give you a little SEPTED study here. When you go into a parking lot, don't park next to a van. You say, why? They snatch you and throw you in the van, drive off with you. You say, oh, come on now. You've been watching too much TV. You might want to listen to me. Amen. You might want to know that there's some things I might know some things about that you might not know about. Why tempt fate that way? Well, I'm just going to trust God. Okay, be stupid. Right. Then you wind up in the van going, God, why'd you let this happen to me? Because you parked next to a van, stupid, even after the preacher told you not to. Yeah. Don't park out in 40-acre field. Drive around till you find a place that's closer to the door. Don't go out there at 2 o'clock in the morning to Walmart. Just because it's open 24 hours a day doesn't mean you have to go to it at 24 hours a day. Right. You say, why? If you do, you better carry something with you. Yes. Baseball bat will work fine. At least they're less likely to mess with you, or you put a couple of knots on them before they get you. You say, what am I talking about? Certain fears are the kind of fears God puts in you to help protect you. I tell kids all the time, you get ready to walk up to somebody and somebody is unusually or overly friendly, or they're all of a sudden want to hand you some candy or get a little special hug or whatever, and you don't know them, and little things are jumping around in your tummy, you know what you do? Scream. Scream. Run away. Get away from them. You say, why? You don't know who you're talking to or who you're dealing with. Trust that fear might be a well-seated fear. God puts something in you that makes you realize, I don't know what that is, but something about that fellow don't seem right. Some of you remember years ago, little kids would come up there too, and you'd try to get them to talk to me. I said, don't try to push them into talking to me. For me, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm a stranger. Stranger danger. You say, why? That's what you want to do, even in churches. You say, why? Perverts come to church too. You say, what do? Trust that instinct. Trust that instinct. It's not perfect love. 1 John 4, casteth out fear. That means I'm not afraid of anything. There's some things you ought to be afraid of. A guy with a gun to your head, you should probably be afraid of that. You say, why? Because you got something, use your head for something besides a hat rack. Why you put an alarm on your house? To keep the ghoulie monsters out. So I can sleep at night. At least I get a chance to get a jump on them if the alarm goes off in the middle of the night, so I can get up and maybe be able to run out the other side of the door or whatever it might be, or call a friend of mine to take care of another speed bump. But here's the thing. When we talk about fear, it's the kind of fear that is irrational. It's the kind of fear that is unreasonable. It's the kind of fear like losing your reputation that you're afraid of, or losing your financial security, or losing your status or your symbol in life. That kind of fear, unreasonable fear, the Lord said, you ain't no business doing that. The kind of fear that makes you worry about things you can't control. Can I ask you a question? Which one of you in here could right now tell me your expiration date? Could you raise your hand and testify? Could you tell me when you're going to die? Oh, there's nobody in here that can do that? Well, why you get consumed with it all the time? A constant phobia of I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. You know what will happen? You have that phobia, you'll never live. A constant phobia because you had one car accident, you think you're going to have another one. Then I guess you just have to sit in the house and call an Uber or a cab or whatever else it might be to be able to get you from point A to point B. You say, why? Oh, because I might get hit again. Well, you might get hit again. There's no guarantee, but you ain't going to do much living as long as that fear is controlling you. Are you with me so far? The same thing happens to you spiritually. Well, you know, I went to church one time and somebody hurt my feelings. I'm never going back again. I've seen grown people do that, grown men and women. I'm not going to church because of what the preacher said today. Does that mean he's going to say something tonight too? I guess that's the reason some of the people here this morning weren't here tonight. They're thinking I'm going to say something I said this morning that upset them. I don't know, but it makes you wonder, doesn't it? The fear of having your feelings hurt keeps you from coming to church. Grown men and women. Right. Somebody's going to, I know they're going to hurt my feelings. I just know they are. Why? Well, 40 years ago they did. Does that keep you out of Walmart? No, sir. Keep you away from work tomorrow? No, sir. Keep you away from the dinner table? No, sir. Why does it keep you away from church? You want me to tell you why it keeps you away from church? I'm going to get to this in a second. You want me to tell you why it keeps you away from church? Because you don't want to go to church anyway. If you don't want to go to church, man up. Just man up. Would you just say, I don't want to go, instead of saying, it's because of the people. Amen. They're not nice. They're not kind. They're not warm. Or because you're getting into my kitchen and I don't like what you had to say. Okay, man up and own it. I don't want to come to church because I don't want to come to church. I don't go to certain restaurants in town. You say, why? I don't like their food. I'm not being harsh. I'm just saying I don't hang out at pizza joints. You say, why? Because I'm tempted. I'd eat too much of it. I don't go to the Hot Now. You say, why? I have no business at Hot Now. You say, why? Now see me thinking about it, I'm already swelling just thinking about it. The scale is already starting to tip past my mark. It's going, hey boy, just thinking about it is getting kind of weighted, isn't it? And I'm thinking that with some hot chocolate. But first you got to have the hot ones with ice cold milk. And then when they get cold, you got to change the two. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. Thank you. Brother Chris finally came to wake over there. He's kind of like, yeah, that sounds good to me. You got to excuse him. He's kind of Colorado bound. So he's already thinking, hey man, how you doing? Yeah, we good, man. It's legal out here, bro. We good. He's over there going, yeah, preacher, preach, man. Yeah, preach. Come out and preach for me, man. No, I better not head out. Yeah, I'll be coming back and say, how y'all doing? Pretty laid back there. Let me ask you a question. You get the munchies too. Listen, let me ask you a question. Now, see, the only reason y'all know about that is because y'all know stuff you shouldn't know. See, I have ways of catching you. I know what I'm up to. Listen, unrealistic, irrational fears, they call them phobias in life over certain things. They give medications and anxiety pills and things like that for that. Fear is a driver often used to manipulate people or to manufacture the idea in order for you to be able to market a product. You got to have this. This will insure you against so-and-so. Let me ask you a question. What's going to insurance you when the bottom falls out of the market and there ain't no money anywhere? Amen. You can't insure against that. What's going to insure you against cancer or heart attack? Lord, I got all that money. That's what the rich guy over there in the Bible says. You know, I'll build bigger barns. I'm going to have a good year next year, better year than I had this year. And the Lord said, you're a fool. You're out of here, bud. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a little. I'll show you what the Bible said. But the fear of having it and then losing it, well, if you don't even have it, you don't have to worry about losing it. But if you got it, don't ever make a God out of that to the point that you're thinking that that's what's keeping you around. Amen. Buddy, that thing can drain like a hole in the bottom of a boat. I mean, right quick, like you sit in the hospital for a few days. Well, I got insurance and I got insurance and I got insurance. Yeah, and then you got no health to be able to spend what you rat-holed away for all that time. Balance, balance, balance. Helping you at all? Making any sense at all? Amen. So you kind of jacked up a little bit. Well, I had an extra shot in my mocha latte or whatever it was they brought me today. No, I'm excited because this thing will help you if you pay attention to it. But you got to understand the kind of fear I'm talking about. Reasonable kind of a fear. There is a right kind of fear and there's a wrong kind of fear. Let me show you a couple of verses here before I give you these 12 things. You say, my goodness, man, will we ever get out of here? Sure you will. The rapture. Verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's a great lesson for you to learn. Rejoice in all things. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Here you go. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Do you worry about what people think about you? I'm sorry, I'm in Philippians chapter 4. I thought y'all knew the Bible so well, I would just quote the verse. That old preacher, we'd sit down and be waiting on a chaplain, and he'd get out a Gideon Bible. He'd throw it over there, and he'd say, read me a couple of verses. And I'd start reading, you know, like Mary had. He said, no, don't read like that. I want you to read me the verse. Don't tell me where you're reading it from. I'll tell you what portion of the book you're reading it from, and I'll try to give you chapter and verse. And I'd take that Gideon, and I'd get rid of the tough one. You know, I'd go to Haggai or something. I'd open it up, and I'd read the first three or four words. He'll go, minor prophet, minor prophet, minor prophet. That'll be Haggai. You'll be in 3. No, 3. That'll be about 7, 8, 9, right along in there. How close am I? When we first started that thing years ago, he would do that thing and he'd hit it 100% of the time. I could read anywhere in there. He'd tell you right where it was, just like that. He'd say, I'm getting old, I'm slipping, I'm losing it. I'd say, well, why are you losing it? He said, find me a passage. I'd read a passage. He'd say, it's New Testament, that'll be Pauline, that'll be... And he'd give me the verse or give me the chapter, give me the book, and he'd maybe miss the chapter or miss the verse. But he'd give me the book. And he'd say, see, I'm slipping. And it bothered him. Put me under conviction, man. I mean, to make an altar out of the little hump there in the van and get down there and say, God, forgive me, man. I don't know why. I don't know the Bible like that, you know. To read a verse and to be able to know where the address is in the thing. My goodness, I could tell you where John 11:35 is. I could tell you where John 3:16 is. But my goodness, man, you get over there and read stuff like in Zechariah. Of course, you might talk about, you know, the animals there, the horses under the myrtle trees. I could tell you where that one is. But there's some wild stuff in there. Now here's what I'm, that's all free of charge. I'm sure you all know the Bible that way. I figured that you did. I'm in Philippians 4. He said, be careful for nothing. You ever consider what you worry about? Amen. What's the Bible say? You worried about who's in the church and who isn't in the church tonight? He said, be careful for nothing. Are you with me? Are you Bible believers? That's what he said, isn't it? Yeah, but preacher, what he really means, No, you're not going to tell me there. What he means is, be careful for nothing.
Amen.
That's Southern for nothing. You say, what does that mean? Hole of a donut. You're not supposed to be worried about anything. Why are you so worried about what people think about you? Amen. Why you worry if you're not in the clique that you think everybody thinks you ought to be in?
Right.
Why would that be? Preachers, why would that be? Maybe the Lord don't want you in that clique. Maybe he doesn't want you around those people. Maybe it's good for you. Maybe you're making a statement. Maybe the thing would be harmful or detrimental to you. Why didn't they ask me to go to the ball game? Why didn't they ask me to come to the party? Why didn't they ask me to do that? Why are you worried about it? Why are you bothered about it? Why are you so anxious about it? Why aren't you worked up about it? Why don't I get to preach? Why don't I get to pray? Why don't I get to sing? How come I didn't get to do that? Why did that? Why are you worried about it? Why are you worried? What is it that makes you worry about that? I'll tell you in just a little while, it's connected with who you think you are. That's why you worry about that. Well, I'm being cut out of the herd, you know. They don't want me around. Good. Might be a good herd to be cut out of if that's how they're talking about you, treating you anyway. Why would you want to be involved in it anyway?
Amen.
Everybody don't like you. Okay, fine. You don't have to be a jerk. I'll find the people that like me.
Amen.
Well, you know, we don't like your wife. Okay, well, I don't like you then.
Amen.
You say, why? I got to live with her. Y'all are like, I ain't that way. Okay, stupid. You sleep on the couch. I ain't. I happen to like her. I don't know where that one came from. All right, let your moderation be known unto men. Be careful for nothing but in everything. In everything, in everything. Have you prayed about it? Look at it. Everything by prayer, teaching you how to get over worry, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. You know what happens nowadays, and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what he's telling you there? He's saying that fear, worry, concern about things you can't control. Is Nibiru going to hit the planet? Are the blood moons going to cause the Shemitah to take place? Is there going to be a harbinger? Is Israel going to go to war with Iran? Is a rocket fellow over there going to shoot a nuke this way or whatever? Oh, don't call him that, preacher. They might send one this way. I hope I'm here when they do. I'm ready to go. I don't care. Listen, you wouldn't even hear the explosion. You'd be a pink mist before you could breathe. Now, what a way to go, man. No pain, no trouble, no suffering. All of a sudden, pink mist, and you're in heaven. The Lord's like, wow, what a mess down there. Lord, what just happened? Kim Jong hung what you had to say out there, and you know, he didn't particularly care for it, so he went ahead and changed the trajectory over and let the first strike be right there at 38:57. Appreciate that one, Lord. Appreciate it very much. Glad it happened on a Sunday night. Maybe some people missed that. Anyway, I was looking for the rapture and you got a nuke in its place. You say what? You worry about things. Are you gonna have enough money to live? How long are you gonna live? I'm sorry, I thought I was in a crowd of people that said, you don't know when your expiration date is.
Right.
Am I going to have enough to make it? God bless you if you do. Everybody don't have that. They don't have that luxury. Oh, I got plenty to last. Okay, good. How long are you going to live? You know what happens if you live to be over 95 years of age? Most likely, the majority of you, whatever you had put up, it ain't going to last much longer. You say, well, that's God's joke on you to think you can prepare yourself for everything. You can't prepare yourself for everything. You say, oh, preacher, you're talking like just being crazy. No, I'm not. I'm talking about not being afraid of it.
Right. Amen.
There's some things you just, there's nothing you can do about it. With food and raiment, therewith be content. The Lord said, why don't you worry about something that matters? Clothe your naked body because you look like a stinking boiled egg with toothpicks for legs. Or, you know, feed your belly so to keep you breathing a little while longer. And beyond that, quit worrying about everything.
Amen.
Amen. Got to go see Omar the tent maker? Go see him. But do something. Man, I'd put something on. You look like you ain't got enough pair of clothes to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay, man. Cover up. Baby, you got an hourglass figure like me? Well, I don't know what hourglass you're looking at, but that looks more like a stinking 24 hourglass to me than an hourglass. Like a mayonnaise jar instead of looking like an hourglass. You don't look like a Coke bottle anymore, ma'am. You say, well, that's age.
Amen.
You still look like a Coke bottle? Well, thank the Lord. By the way, green glass went out a long time ago. I don't understand that. You get all consumed with that stuff, and there's nothing you can do about it. Some of you, that's all you worry about, your appearance. Well, I got news for you. As you get older, it goes. Whether you want to or not, there ain't enough plastic in the United States of America to overcome the wrinkles you got on your face.
Amen.
Sagging skin going every which way, man. You stick your hand out the window and your stinking skin beat you to death. You sound like a butterfly hung up on the stinking windshield washers. You say, why? That's life. It's going south. You say, not me. Well, go ahead and stay at it. Some of you need to stand on your head for a while. You say, why? The other stuff's going in the wrong direction. Man, I mean, that fence looks like a mudslide now. You got to be kidding me. Preacher, you shouldn't be there. No, that's like, quit worrying about it. You're getting old.
Amen.
I can't think like I used to. Welcome to old age. You ain't supposed to. You're getting old. You say, what happened? The Lord lets the thing fall out from under you. I'm all the way over in the book of Ecclesiastes. It all comes apart. Why? To show you, you ain't all that in a bag of chips. And sooner or later, it's going to get you. I don't care how long you prop it up. Sooner or later, somebody's going to kick the props out from under it, and it's all going to come tumbling down. You're going to look like Humpty Dumpty, who done fell off the wall. You say, why? Why are you so worried about it? You're so constantly worried about your dress size and your britches size. Just get a bigger pair and accept the fact that's just the way things go. Your chest drops into your drawers and you said it never would. Well, welcome to America. Amen. You fellows, you know, you hadn't seen your toes in so long, it ain't even funny. You're kind of like, I sure would like to shine my shoes. They look like they've been shined with a Hershey bar. You say, why? The only way you could shine them is to get somebody to hand them to you so you could shine them up here. You can't see them from where they are. You say, why? You got a shed built over them. You say, well, it ain't just for women. Come on, women, you can laugh. It ain't just for women. You ain't what you used to be. And then you drop a couple of pounds and you realize with those pounds comes the fat that was in your muscles. And you felt like you're still kind of looking buff, but you didn't realize what was making you blow out was the fat that was in your mud. Then when you lose that, you don't lose that fat in those places first. You lose them in all them other places. And so then all of a sudden you're in the mirror one day and you're going. And that little thing's in there going, it looks like an English pea on a piece of rope. You know, it's kind of like, poop, there it is. Like, it's kind of like, man, what done happened to me? You getting old. Why are you worrying about it? How come it is somebody gets ready to tap you on the arm? Don't tell me you don't do that. They come up and grab a hold of you. You feel that horseshoe back there, don't you, baby? Still got that horseshoe, man. Yes, sir. Got the inner, the outer. Got that little crab claw down there. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah, you a legend in your old mind, old man. That thing done drawed up. It might have been like this in one day. 50 years ago, and now that little thing's like this, and now somebody walks up to you and says, hey, and you're thinking, can somebody handle this for me, please? I'm scared. You say, why? You're getting old. You're getting old. Don't be afraid of old age. Embrace it. You're going to get old. You say, why? I got to have the Lord to say, hey, listen, Lord, I'd like to try to do my best to do this. Stay in best shape I possibly can, and now it's getting to be care and maintenance, but Lord, if you don't help me, but I ain't going to worry about it.
Amen.
You say, why? Why are you worried? Connected with your reputation.
Yes, amen.
You think your reputation is connected with how people see you? Man, you're a dime a dozen to people. You realize who you're against? You're against everybody that's out there on the television that's airbrushed and air painted and wearing everything in the world to make them look like something nobody in this world is.
Right.
You can't compete with a Hollywood crowd, man, with all them cameras and all that stuff. They make a living off of looking that way.
Yes.
Well, pay me to look that way. I could do a little better. Couldn't you? I could get a new suit of clothes and, you know, maybe get a... I know I need a haircut. I'll get to it. I just hadn't had time to get it done. But I could do a couple of things to tune it up a little bit. You know, run a couple hundred feet or something like that. Or do one or two push-ups and all that stuff. Won't be no one-handed stuff or anything. A couple pull-ups, you know, and that kind of a thing. And maybe improve it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then you consumed with... I got crow's feet. What are crows doing walking on your face in the first place? Crow's feet belong on a crow. They shouldn't be on your face. I got a new wrinkle. But you know what they do? They mark it off your fear.
Amen.
Now, before you think and completely write me off, he said, be careful for nothing. Why does he say that? Because he knows human nature. It's anxiety driven. Back in the day, this will go 1940s, first of all, 1941, 42, 43. Your war is going with Hitler over there, and then with Japan who jumps in, and then Russia jumps in on that thing, and you have World War II, and people are concerned and worried about the kids being called up and that kind of a deal. And then not long after that, you get into the 60s, and John F. Kennedy is the president there, and he has over there the Bay of Pigs, and they got the... what's his name? The Russian president there. Brother Will could tell me, but is it Khrushchev? Khrushchev was over there, and he's going to send missiles down there to Cuba. And so you're doing drills. How many of you remember the drills? Get under the desk stuff. Like hiding under a desk on a nuke is going to... But see, it makes you feel like you're doing something. How many of you remember the stop, drop, and roll? Yeah, that wasn't like, you know, stop, rock, and roll kind of a thing. That was a get out on the ground, roll underneath the desk somewhere, and then when the nuke goes off, don't look at the nuke. Yeah, I've got pictures of them over there at Bikini Island with the glasses on, and they got their hands across their face and still had their eyes burned out of their head with their eyelids closed and their hands over their face. The guy that dropped the bomb out of the Enola Gay had on those welder's glasses, and through the welder's glasses got the outsides of his eyes burned, and he was 35,000 feet up in the air from the mushroom cloud and the green glow coming through the glasses. Tell me, don't look at it. You better bury your head in the sand if you're not going to look at it. You say, well, why? It ain't going to do you any good anyway. It's going to wind up frying you. You know what happened? You started building bomb shelters. Yeah, you say, what was it? They marketed bomb shelters. If you were aware, a fare thee well, doing well, everybody that really had the dough, you know what you had in your backyard? You had a bomb shelter. You know what it was sold? It was sold at hardware stores. You know what it was made out of? Plywood and 2x4s. And then you had Y2K. And the world's coming to an end, and oh my God, it's going to come to an end, because when the computer hits all zeros, it doesn't know how to reset itself, and because of that, and everything's driven in the computer-driven age, oh, we're not going to want to do, and preachers are getting up there, and they're selling everything from soybeans to corn, and to give you to get your peas, and make sure you put this together, and do that together, and put it in 5-gallon buckets, and get ready for the end of the world, the cataclysmic event, and then all of a sudden, 1999 gets ready to roll over into 2000, and then, you know, they're watching, and it goes to Australia, and they're thinking, here it comes, it's going to come like a wave, and Australia goes off first, and they have their new year, and no hitch. Yeah, but it's not America. It's not America. Get ready. And people are down there ready for the end of the world. It's going to be over. It's over with. It's done. The computers aren't going to reset. The power grid's going to go down. Gas is going to be $1 million a gallon. We're going to be done. The life as we know it is over with. And New Year's Day 2000 came and went, and not a thing happened. And a bunch of people have a lot of corn and soybeans in their basement till today.
Amen.
You say, what happened? A bunch of preachers got rich off of scaring people.
Yes. Amen.
What's the topic of the message? Fear. Don't worry, if I don't get to the 12 tonight, I'll get to the 12 Wednesday. Or by midnight anyway. That'd be good. 12 at midnight. For the 12 days of Christmas. For the 12 tribes of Israel. Coming through one of the 12 gates. seated with the 12 apostles. Anyway, you want to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. They know what causes you anxiety and fear. You know what they do? They market it. They scare you into doing things and make you think you can control it yourself. You got that over here that some people will say, that's just wisdom. And you got God over there saying, you think they can control it better than me? Fear is diametrically opposed to faith.
Yes, amen.
Come to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John 4. The preacher, you talk like a tree fell on you. No, I know what I'm talking about. You say, why? There's some things you worry about 80% of which, according to the national averages, are never going to come true anyway.
Amen.
But you're worried to death about them tonight, aren't you? The spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. You know what will happen to you? And this is one of the things that's in the 12. Before long, you get to focusing on that thing that scares you. It'll control your thought life. You're afraid of not being liked. So you know what you're looking for? People that don't like you. Why don't you focus on the people that do like you? You say you have people that don't like you? Yeah, I do. You say, what do you think about them? I don't. I spend my time with people that like me. You say, why? It's an indicator in your life that you think everybody should like you because of what you think of yourself. No, wake up and smell the coffee. Everybody don't like you. Well, what is there not to like about me? Don't ask your wife. Don't ask people that know you that. They could tell you like that. I can tell you what they don't like about you. If they don't like you because you love the Lord, okay, good. You're in good company. If they don't like you because you're a jerk, well, then get it right. But if they don't like you just because you're not their stripe or you don't wear their color or you don't do whatever sport it is that they do or whatever it might be, okay, go find you somebody that's more like who you are. You'll be better off without them.
Right.
You say, why? You spend your whole life trying to please people instead of please God. Good preaching.
Amen.
This would be good for youth camp. You say, why? I get more problems nowadays because of that stinking social media stuff because people trying to get everybody out there in the world to like them, and that ain't life. Go put on a blue suit for a while and ride around in a marked car. You'd be surprised how all these people talk about how much they love you and appreciate you until you're the one that they pull over.
Amen.
I mean, they're the one you pull over. And then all of a sudden, you're no longer their buddy or their pal. You find out the only reason they were saying that is because they thought it might give them a walk when they broke the law.
Amen.
Every situation you're in, you know what you find out? It's a negative contact. Sure it is. People call you. Why? Because they need you. It's like you call a plumber. How many plumbers do you just hang out with for the sake of hangout? But buddy, when the sink's backed up and the sewer's overflowing, you're glad to see that plumber, aren't you? But you probably don't want to go to the restaurant with him after he cleaned your sink. A policeman comes in there. You know what he does? He comes in. There's a family fight. There's an accident. There's somebody dead. There's somebody getting a ticket. There's somebody getting a tune-up or whatever. Every contact that person has, nearly every single one of them, is a negative contact. He better have some thicker skin. You say, why? Everybody ain't going to like him. And everybody's going to second-guess his decisions. Well, if I was there, well, you ain't, sonny boy. You never strapped it on. You talk like you're an authority. You never went to school. You never went to the academy. You never rode around and think. You're just like Monday morning quarterback. I hear these guys, it's hilarious on Sunday to listen to me. Well, did you see that guy yesterday? He dropped back into the pocket. And if he'd have run the 42 wide out, you know, he'd have been fine with that. If that tackle had cracked back on the guard and the guard had pulled, then it would have been his own, so on this and that and the other. You think, you ask you a question, man. You talk like you played some ball before. You ever play ball? Played Pop Warner back in the day. What? You played Pop Warner, and you're sitting there talking about Peyton Manning or whether or not whatever the old geezer's name is, it's still playing in his 40s. Hey, say what you want. He's still out there.
Amen.
Well, if I was him, I'd have hung it up.
You'd have never got the chance. You wouldn't even make your high school team, let alone play that many years at that level. I'm hear people all the time. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, if I own that team... There's a reason you don't. Because if you did, it would be bankrupt. Can you imagine some of these people that say that stuff with being the head coach? You know what some of you are worried about? You're worried about your popularity. You're worried about whether, you know what the Lord said to the boys? Boys, let me ask you a question. Don't worry, I'm not going to give you the 12 tonight. I'm not going to get to it. I'll give you a couple of days of Christmas and that'll be enough for tonight. But you know what he says? He said, boys, I want to have a little conversation. Yes, sir, Lord, what is it? You know, well, we need to talk to you a little bit. Business deal? Judas said, no, it ain't a business deal. Peter says, it is a deal as far as lining up some people for making an army? No, it ain't that at all. John jumps in and said, Lord, you need us to go get some money? No, it ain't that at all. It's not a food deal. It's not an army deal. It's none of that kind of stuff. I want to ask you a question. Okay, Lord, well, we've been to Bible school now for 3 years and we're ready to answer whatever question you got. We're ready for the ministry. Okay, well, it's a simple question. I'm just pondering, thinking, musing about this. I'm wondering something. You boys all know I got enemies. Well, sure you do, Lord. Yeah, sure you do. But I mean, they're all whacked out. They're messed up. They're this and that and the other. And Lord, whoever don't like you, you know, they ain't worth having around anything else. Well, here's my question to you. How come I got enemies and you don't?
Amen.
Sometimes it's good to have enemies for the right reason.
Amen.
Making any sense to you? Why are you worrying about it? Why are you worried about trying to force people to like you that don't like you?
Amen.
That's the second one. Bondage. Bondage to somebody else's belief. You girls are worse about that than the guys are. But guys are getting that way because guys nowadays are getting effeminate.
Right.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're getting effeminate. You hadn't had your nose bloodied in a while and you don't get out and mix it up and all that. Is that what you think makes a man? Oh, cut it out, man. And just listen for a minute. Girls, you're worse about it. You say, why? You dress according to what you think your peers are going to accept. You know, one of the great problems of social media, there are girls out there now that before they walk out of their door, they send a picture of themselves to all of their friends and say, what do you think? Thumbs up. And if somebody says thumb down, they go in and change until their friends all go, you look good. Yeah, but if they're not real friends, they have you going out looking like an idiot because they're taking advantage of you. 1 John chapter number 4, the Bible says this, come all the way down, if you will, please, to verse number 18, make it 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's our love for Jesus Christ, and because He is, so are we in this world, so no need to fear if I know I'm saved. You understand that? That's Romans chapter 8. The Lord had not given us a spirit of fear again into bondage. Why? Because I'm saved. Right? I don't have to worry about going to hell anymore. That's eternal security. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath what? Ooh, fear hath torment. It torments you, doesn't it? Shakes you up, doesn't it? Bothers you, doesn't it? Controls you. All right, let's see here. Take your Bible. Let me get over here to my 12 days of Christmas here. Come to Galatians chapter number 5. Now, I'm still running ahead of schedule. Y'all doing okay? Everybody all right? Making any sense to you at all?
Yes.
I'm not getting on to you. I'm just giving you suggestions. You're controlled by fear. The fear of acceptance. That's a tough one. That's a hard one. Everybody doesn't like me. That's hard. That's difficult. Is it hot in here to y'all?
Yes.
Grace, are you hot?
Yes.
Thank you. I am too. Could you turn the air conditioner on, please? It's me and Grace against the world. When it comes to this thing about fear, you know what will happen to you? You'll wind up having your whole life controlled by what you think or fear other people will think of you.
Amen.
That's why for some of you, it's hard for you to stand with the Bible-believing crowd.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid of what it'll do to your reputation.
Amen.
Being associated with this bunch of nuts in here. Well, that's okay. You squirrels will be up a tree when us nuts get out of here.
Amen.
That's the old preacher said that. It went over better when he said it than when I did. But at any rate, you know what happens? You're worried about your affiliation. You say, why? It might hurt your business. You're afraid of what it'll do to your bottom line.
Yeah.
Got quiet there. You're afraid if you get too much associated with Bible-believing Christianity that it might hurt some of your worldly friendships. You may not be able to strike hands with everybody out there. They might find out what church you go to. You don't want to hang out with certain people because they're not kind of your stripe. You're afraid of what it'll do to your reputation. You're afraid of what it'll do to your bottom line. You know what I know? I know that people sometimes come affiliated with church and all because they're using it as a marketing scheme to let people think they're a good person. So they say, well, I go to church. Well, what does that mean? I've been in a barn. It don't mean I'm a horse. I go in my garage every day. It don't mean I'm a car. I'm not one of those things that turns into something like that. But you know what I know? I know some Christians are afraid of that passage right there. That spirit of fear overwhelms them because they're worried about what it'll do to their bottom line. They're worried about what it'll do to their family. You say, why? The Lord even said, whoso loveth mother, brother, sister, wife, husband, children, yea, his own life also, cannot be my disciple. Man, Lord, that seems mighty harsh. That seems mighty tough. You know what some people are afraid? They don't want to get too close to Jesus. They're afraid their family will desert them. They're afraid it'll affect their finances. They're afraid it'll affect their freedom. You have people all around this world right now that are being tortured tonight because they got affiliated with Jesus Christ. And guess what came with that? The fear of being arrested and put in prison or disappeared. Mm-hmm. Would you and I do that? I'd like to say that, but it's easy for me to say. I'm sitting here in a suit and tie in an air-conditioned building. I got a car parked out there. My belly's full of food. I got a good woman to go home to. I got a nice house to live in. My bills are paid. I'm doing pretty good. That's easy for me to say, oh, boy, if I was tortured for the Lord, well, would I? Well, would I? I don't know. But if that fear were there, it would control whether or not I'd be public. You know why some people aren't public in their witness? They're worried about what it'll do to their reputation. Some of you are so afraid about giving in to that person who you can't stand or like. You know why? You're afraid that you're going to lose ground. You're worried you're going to lose your edge. I'm saying fear is driving you. Fear fills your mind. It fills your heart. And before long, you're sitting there. You see, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I do too. Don't raise your hand. You're living in a day and time where panic attacks are more prevalent today than they have ever been before. What are you afraid of?
Amen.
And they're real. Oh, preacher, I think that's the stupidest thing in the world. Well, you just ain't had a good scare.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, keep on talking, big mouth. You may not know what you're talking about. I'm saying panic attacks are real. You say, why? They're more today than there ever has been. Why? You've been watching that box and you've been messing with that computer so much that that's gotten your mind. 2 Corinthians 10, that castle, that wall has been broken down and those carnal things have come into your mind and you're afraid you won't measure up. You're afraid you won't have friends. You're afraid you won't have family. You're afraid you won't have freedom. You're afraid you won't have finance. You're scared to death. I ain't going to church over there, man. What will people think about me? I don't know. Is it right? Some of you make choices on which football team you choose to win a thing, but you make that choice. It's a proven study. You make the choice based on what all the peers think about you because you're afraid of not being liked or being ostracized. They've proven that in study time after time after time after time. You don't have to look far in the studies psychologically where they have eight people that are in a line there and they ask you to give the right answer about a line that's in a perpendicular manner and another one that's in a parallel manner. And they say to you, now which of these two is in the parallel manner? And seven of the people call the perpendicular one instead of the parallel. That's the one up in the vertical instead of the one laying down. And they say seven of them do that. They're all in on it. And that eighth guy, 90% of the time, goes with the crowd even though he knows the answer's wrong because he's worried about what they're going to think about. I want to be one of the crowd. Why don't he say, well, the truth is the one that's parallel is the one going this way and all these seven are wrong and I'm right.
Amen.
Well, no, you can't say that. Okay, 2 plus 2 is 5 then. You just will accept that. Why? Because we all believe it's 5, so you accept, no, it's 4. No, it's 5. You're wrong. No, it's 4. Do you understand? You see, what is that? It's driven by fear. It's driven by being afraid, being abandoned. I have abandonment issues. Really? How you have abandonment issues? You're saved, aren't you? Okay, the Bible said, when mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Bible said, the Lord said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. What do you mean you got abandonment issues? Well, I'm all alone. God's with you, ain't he? He does all things right, doesn't he? I think we talked about that this morning. Well, now, preacher, I'd like to talk to you about. Yeah, I know. You want to philosophize. You got a guilty conscience. You feel guilty about it. look at this thing in 1 John 4. He said, no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I'd like to say in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, if you allow that fear to remain, it'll take control of your thoughts. Number 2, Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 1. Could somebody read it real loud for me? Real quick, if you're there. Galatians 5, 1. You know what he just said to you right there? One of the things that fear will do to you is it'll allow you to be entangled to the yoke of bondage, the stronghold of fear has on you of your past being exposed. He said, stand fast in the liberty you have. You say, why? I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm not perfect. I'm still a sinful creature. But my salvation's not in question. People always want to tell me all the time, well, I just don't believe you're saved. You know, how can you be saved and do so and so? I don't know. How can you be saved and be questioning mine? That don't bother me at all. You want to doubt my salvation? Doubt it. It ain't yours to doubt. It's mine.
Amen.
Belongs to God. I know if I'm saved or not, whether you think I am or whether I'm not. You know what he says? You stand fast in the liberty that God's given you, and don't let anybody entangle you in what they think you ought to be and how you ought to act and what you ought to do. This place is replete with churches all over the creation telling you, live this way, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, and you might make it.
Amen.
I'm not under the bondage of that. You say, well, that's fear. You're scaring me all the time, thinking I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost. I'm in bondage. Why? Because I said something I shouldn't. I did something I shouldn't. I thought something I shouldn't. I was full of pride. I was full of anger. I was full of all these other emotional things that go on besides just smoking and drinking and cussing. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Yes or no?
Amen.
Okay, enjoy it then.
Amen.
Oh, well, preacher, you're just saying, you know, that people can live any way they want. No, you might get your hide end tore off. Or what's worse yet, the Lord might just leave you alone.
Amen.
No, I'm not ever teaching you that. I'm telling you that once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation, and I'm not going to use it as a scare tactic to make you be good little boys and good little girls.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and if you're saved, you're still saved, even if you do walk in the flesh, Galatians chapter number 5, and commit everything you could have committed before you got saved. And don't you think one sin's worse than another sin? Every one of you, when you worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, you're guilty of idolatry as any person was in the Old Testament. Your idol's just not a golden calf. It's a thing that stares at you on two legs on a regular basis.
Amen.
You preach, you ought not be so upset. What are you afraid of?
Amen.
You're not going to scare me telling me I'm going to lose my salvation. Oh, well, you know, I just don't believe you can be saved and have a television. Okay. Okay, that's your opinion. The Bible don't say nothing about it. It says, tell the vision to no man. What goes in your eye affects your heart. Well, what's been going in your eye? Because all of a sudden there's some kind of speck or a beam in yours that's affecting how you're seeing everything. Secondly, I want to say this to you. Enjoy the liberty you have. And that's not liberty to miss church and to do wrong and to do. It's not bondage. I don't have to worry about trying to prove I'm saved by how I live. That's what's wrong with this modern theology. Well, you know, you can just live however you want to live in the grace of God and this and that and the other. But if you really are saved, you're truly saved, then we know that you're saved because you start to do the things that are pleasing to God. In whose eyes? The Pharisees did things that would be pleasing to most of you that believe that. I'm wore out with these preachers trying to put bondage you into fear to make you be afraid. You must not be saved because you don't always feel like serving Jesus. Don't you tell me you do. Sometimes you don't. You do it anyway out of character, but sometimes it's kind of like, I don't want to read my Bible today. Well, you're going to hell. No, you're not. You're just out of fellowship. Your eyes are burning because you smoked too much at the club last night. I don't know why you didn't read it. You're human. But it don't mean you're lost.
Amen.
Well, I ain't going to church anymore. You lost. You're going to hell. No, you're not. You're just backslid and you're reprobate and you're doing what you want to do and using your time for yourself. You don't want to be obedient to God. Okay, fine. Go on. Help yourself. But I'm not going to, even if I disagree with it, I'm not going to say you're lost because of your attendance or your tithing or giving or whatever you want to call it. You say, what is that? That's bondage again to fear. I'm saved. You say, why? Because of what he did for me.
Amen.
I'm not saved based on what I do, whether somebody looks at me, follow me around with a microscope long enough. You don't even have to have a microscope, a telescope, or a magnifying glass. Just follow me around for 24 hours and someday you know what you're going to think? How could that guy be saved? I mean, I saw him out in the yard in sweatpants. And everybody knows sweatpants are the devil. Well, okay. Isaiah chapter number 10. I'm just going to go to 6 o'clock if you bear with me. Is it making sense to you at all, or are you just being nice? You say, what is that? I'm talking about fear. The very idea that they try to scare you into service. What do you think your service is going to be worth anyway? You know what happened? Hitler's a good example. He scared an entire nation into service. Man, wouldn't you do something? Wouldn't you do what Hitler told you to do if he said he's going to burn you in an oven? You say, not me, man. I'd stand up for it. Okay, all right. How about if they take your baby and going to throw your baby in the oven? Bold testimony for Jesus. Really? Really? You sure about that? I'm not that stupid. They grab a hold of her. I wouldn't be like that lady. A lady they were sitting over there on the porch one time. They came up there and said, where'd you hide your husband? And he said, I'll never tell you. She said, well, they said, we'll torture you. And she said, well, you can torture me. I'll never tell you. And so they started torturing her. And they did all kind of ungodly things to her right there on front of the porch, in front of the kids and that kind of a thing. And she finally, through her tears and through her blood, she finally said, okay. If I tell you where I hit him, will you stop? And they said, we'll stop if you tell us where you hit him. And she said, I hit him right here in my heart, and you'll never get him out of me. And they blew her brains out all over the front porch. You say, you've got that kind of boldness, preacher? I don't know. I ain't been in that situation. I might cry like a little schoolgirl. I mean, I know how I draw it up in my mind. But I know I'm eternally secure. I might pull that card if it would save me for a painless way of going out. I don't know. You can't plan for those things. Don't tell me you can. You don't know what you would do. I've heard people say, I never doubt God. And now your kid's laying on a hospital bed under that stinking buzzing light and it's 60 degrees in there and you got chills because of the adrenaline dumping you and you're sitting there saying, you never doubt God?
Amen.
And that little kid's lips are turning blue. And we know all things work together for good to them who love God, them who are called according to His purpose. Don't tell me fear's not there. You let that stuff get in your mind, it'll drive you. You let that somebody try to take that away by taking your liberty away from you. That's what they did with the Galatians. You can't be saved. You're not circumcised. Have a nice day. You can't be saved. You don't have church on Saturday. Have a nice day. You can't be saved. You don't speak in tongues. Have a nice day.
Amen.
See ya. Stand fast in the liberty. Isaiah chapter number 10. Look at verse number 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. A fear prevents you from moving forward because you're carrying somebody else's weight. Fear has a weight to it. The yoke he's talking about there comes out of the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, he said, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joy and gladness of heart, he'll put upon you a yoke of iron. You know what happened? All of a sudden that fear is connected with the devil as much as faith is connected with God. You know what that fear does? It helps keeps you from realizing the dreams God would have you to do. I'm too old to be a missionary. I'm too old to go to Bible school. I'm too old to be a preacher. I'm too old to be involved in church. I'm too old to sing. I'm too old to teach a class. I'm too old to pass out tracts. I'm too old to see something done and all that other kind of stuff. I don't know what that is. You know what that is talking to you? That's fear. You know what he said? Fear causes you to be under somebody else's yoke. It binds you up. It burdens you down. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. What weight's he talking about? That weight, that fear of not being successful. Well, what if I do start a church and nobody comes? Okay, Lord told you to start a church. Success isn't measured by whether people come or not. You know what the fear is? The fear of the reprisal of, well, but if people don't know, the people don't come, then maybe God wasn't in it. Maybe God was in it just to see if you would get in it. You don't know. You say, what is that? It puts a yoke on you, doesn't it? Some of you, you're so afraid of failure that you don't even try anything. Everything you do doesn't always work out. As a matter of fact, you learn three ways. Number one, you learn it from a book, from preaching or whatever. But you learn by what you watch other people do and their failures, or you learn from your own failures. The best way to do is learn from somebody that's already failed at it. But some of you never have to worry about failure. You say, why? You never get off your blessed assurance and try anything. You're socially uncomfortable because you're afraid to get out of your shell and say, "Hi, how are you?" Just wanted to say, appreciate you coming. Thank you. Bathroom's in the back. But you're, you know, well, but I'm just not good at that. Well, try it. Try it. But I might fail. There's nobody in here that owns a business that hadn't had to overcome the fear of failure. Amen. Why are they successful? The first hurdle they overcame was the fear of what happens if I don't have the money to make payroll. What happens if I don't have the money to cover my expenses? What happens if I start out here and I got to go back to my boss and say, "Man, I made a mistake and I shouldn't have got into business"? What happens if I fail? That's why a lot of people don't try to start a business. You say, "You're trying to get me started." This has nothing to do with business. This has to do with, why don't you try to do anything for the Lord? "Well, preacher, we couldn't do what you do." What makes you think you couldn't do what I do? Why couldn't you do 10 times what I do? The only thing I can tell you is at least I started. That's all I know to tell you. Beyond that, everything else has been in the Lord's hands. It has nothing to do with me. It's, if the Lord wanted to use you, would you let Him?
Amen.
Would you let Him? "Well, I just can't do that. I just don't get along well with people." What kind of a duck is that? That's kind of like, "Well, why don't you try to get along with people?" "I just don't have any friends." Can I give you a Bible verse? I just used this a couple weeks ago. Can I give you a verse? I was listening to a guy there in Michigan, and he was telling me all about how sad and lonely and terrible and bad things were and all that stuff. And he got through, and the preacher had given me permission to talk with him, sitting there on the front pew there. And we were sitting there talking for a little while and stuff like, or the back pew back there. We were sitting there talking, and I said, "Well, brother, I don't know what to tell you. I can just give you a verse of scripture." Yeah, that's what I need. I believe the Word of God, cover to cover, including the maps, man. King James only! You know, I was like, "Oh, okay, great, man." I can see probably why people don't really want to. Anyway, I said, the only verse that comes to mind is, "He that have his friends must show himself friendly." The friends come after you show yourself friendly. I don't know about you. I never made friends with a rattlesnake because I've never had one of them try to be friendly with me. Why don't you have friends? Well, it's because everybody around you is wrong. And it's all their fault. Because the Bible says if you're going to have friends, they need to show themselves friendly to you. Because you are the bride at the wedding and the corpse at the funeral. You're the it factor. You're the one that sits on your blessed assurance when it comes handshaking time and won't even cross the aisle. You worry about all the stuff about independents and tea parties and Democrats and Republicans crossing the aisle and getting along and pulling the Rodney King, "Can't we just all get along," you know, kind of a deal. You're worried about all that. You won't even cross the aisle and shake hands with your brother and sister. Not too hard for you, is it? No, that's not rough. That's, you know, why don't I have, these other people, they have friends and they have get-togethers and stuff. They never invite me. Might be a clue. I'm just saying. Well, I like being isolated. Well, it's not what the Lord told you to do. But you can't put that on people the rest of your life. You know what I know, ladies and gentlemen? I know that if you ran a business the way some of you are at church, you'd be bankrupt, and you don't practice in business what you do at the church. You isolate yourself in church, but in business, you're a man or a woman that has no enemies. Boy, you, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good to see you, man. How you doing? Hey." Oh, I mean, you stretch out. You come to church. Baptist salute. Church is over with, man. You out of here like a rat running out of a sewer pipe. And all the way home. No, not a single soul spoke to me. I'm sorry, I didn't speak to you except from the pulpit. I didn't speak to you because you looked to me like you weren't interested in talking to me. I don't generally approach people that when I walk up they go. I used to have to approach people like you, but I approached you a little differently than I did as a pastor. Maybe. I'm just saying. I've been told about stuff like that. I don't understand that. But you know what happens? Am I telling the truth or what?
Yes.
You make allowances for people in the world and for your business that you do not make for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I will say unapologetically, you are wrong. And you don't talk about your people you do business with, but you talk about everybody in the church. I don't understand that. You're in bondage to something. One of these days I'm going to get you excited enough that you're going to finally say amen. You came close this morning. You look like that little penguin thing, that little happy feet thing. I saw you. I know you got the blanket on, but I saw that blanket going. Miss Tracy, when she gets to singing sometimes, you'll start noticing.
Amen. Amen.
You say, what is that? I don't know. Once you tried it, it works pretty good. I ain't like that. Oh, some of you used to cut the rug at the club. You know what I know, ladies and gentlemen? I know there's a yoke of iron that's likened unto the devil. I know that yoke is on you when it comes to things at the church, but you take that yoke off and you go out there in the world and you have some friendships greater with unsaved people than you do with saved people. Amen. And I put that on you. I don't put that on saved people. I don't think there's as much wrong with the church as you want it to be. I'm wore out with people always telling me, there's trouble in the church. Well, then go to another one and maybe the trouble will leave with you. Why are you always talking about trouble in the church? Why? Why are you so fixated on that? You get 200-300 people gathered here on a Sunday morning, there's bound to be a hemorrhoid in the bunch somewhere. Somebody had a bad day somewhere. Okay. That don't mean, you know, you can say, I guess, geographically, there's trouble in the church. There is, but compared to the whole body, we're doing pretty good.
Amen.
We're doing all right. You're back on Sunday night. You know, I don't go back on Sunday night. Okay. Have a nice day. The roof didn't fall in. Are you making a statement? I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense. But you'll be the very one that'll complain when you get ready to have a get together at your house and everybody don't come. I don't know why I invited them. I don't know why they don't come. The Lord's like, you know, I kind of know how that feels. But I get it. When you're the one throwing the party, you think everybody should be honored to be there. I'm trying to help you. I'm not upset with you. You say, what is that? That's that fear of being rejected by the world. Wednesday night, I'll get into this a little bit, but there's no fear of God before their eyes.
Amen.
You fear the face of man more than you fear what God thinks about you. And you're more worried about success here than you are at the judgment seat. And you're more worried about the terror you would see in everyday business and in your family than you are with terror of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the bottom line. And like it or lump it, it don't make no difference to me. It's still the truth.
Amen.
That's kind of arrogant. What are you so touchy for?
Amen.
What all of us, why don't you get so touchy about that? I had a Marine tell, I hate to even say that word. I don't even know who he was. I think he must have got an honorary allowance or something. We have to leave, he said. I said, okay, well, have a nice day. I'll see you Sunday. No, I mean permanently. I said, are you dying? I thought he was shining me on, you know. He goes, no, I'm not dying. I said, okay, well, what do you mean? He goes, we have to leave. I said, okay. I said, well, why is that? He goes, you're just too rough and rude in speech. I said, could I ask you a question, sir, before you're on the way out the door? He said, yeah. I said, did you go to Paris Island for your training? Yes, sir. I'm a Marine. I said, former, not ex, right? Yes, right. I said, and I'm too rough in speech? You must have been raised in the days where you get a stress card and going, I can't take it, don't holler at me no more. What is that?
Amen.
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. He's afraid of something in his household.
Amen.
I'll tell you what it is. Jezebel's there. Honey, you keep running around with that preacher, you're going to think that you're supposed to be the head of the house, and we ain't having that in my house. We need to get out of here. Okay, honey. Marine. Led around like a poodle on a string when it comes to spiritual things. I gave you 3 of 12. If you want the other 9, if those 3 helped you, come back. And if not, get it on CD. Or here's the great thing about it. You can take it and deal with it, and if it helps you, then great. And if it doesn't, you know what you can say? That preacher's an idiot. And you know what the Lord might say? Amen. And then he'll lighten to follow it with this, but he's my idiot. And when he's preaching from my book, he's not speaking for himself. He's speaking for me. And then you do with that whatever you want. And there's great liberty in that. You say, why? My wife even gets upset with me sometimes. Really? It'll take her about 24 hours and she'll be like, baby, I was wrong. And I'm not sorry. No, something. You like a little more of that, huh, big man? He's like, every now and then, you know what I know? I know the Lord deals with me up here, and he said, okay, boy, drop the plow. And I go, well, there's one back there that's going to hit. The Lord's like, yeah. And right now, there's no friends, and there's no foes, and there's no family. Amen. You speaking for me. So are you more afraid of the faces of men, or are you more afraid of me?
Amen.
Okay, Lord. And sometimes, she's nice about it. She said, I'm thinking. That's double speak for butt out, big boy. Because that ain't my husband talking. That was the preacher talking. And
amen.
I need some time to delineate between the two. Because it ain't an easy pill to swallow sometimes. You say, why? That fear dominates. It's the greatest tool of the devil to scare you. You know what the Lord says in the Old Testament? The Lord said, I scared you to scare you. You say, what? I scared you so you'd be afraid.
Amen.
You're supposed to be afraid of the right things.
Amen.
Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed. Thank you for staying around tonight. I appreciate it. I didn't intentionally lie to you, but look at it this way. Brother Josh prayed for hours, and you got out in less than an hour. That's a pretty good deal. Brother Mike McCullough, if you would, please, you dismiss us, please.